Okay, essentially, our topic of Mikra Megillah that we started last week, I don't know how everyone's doing in terms of the Mar Makomos. Did you get through everything? You get through most? Okay, so it's keeping on a good pace. So it is a topic that has a couple of wings to it, and that's essentially the idea that it would take us a few weeks. I think for today we'll prioritize one of them specifically more just because we don't know in the next few weeks how many things we'll cover, and this is a more basic one. So we'll talk about this, specifically the issue of the Chi of Mikra Megillah and Nushim. How exactly that fits in. I think you've seen some of the sources probably by now that talk about that. That's a fair guess. You've seen some of those sources. Okay, so I should give a little bit of an overview of this complex issue. And you recall last week we spoke about some of the foundations about the fact that Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah that the Chachamim ordained, but seems to be more than a Drabbanan, the way many poskim understand. It's rather treated as a Midivrei Kabbalah, as something which, because it's mentioned in Psukim, in Megillas Esther, therefore has a higher status, and that higher status, according to a good number of Achronim, is essentially equal to a Daraisa. There are those who disagree. But for most intents and purposes, that seems to be the way many of the later poskim have taken it. It seems like from the Rishonim that it was not necessarily the consensus view in the Rishonim, but that's where we find many poskim landing. So that being the case, that's important background. And we spoke about some differences last week between the Chi of Mikra Megillah of the nighttime and Mikra Megillah of the daytime. So what about the role of women as far as Mikra Megillah is concerned? So the Gemara Maseches Megillah, which maybe you've had a chance to see, tells us that Nashim are Chayavos B'Mikra Megillah because of Afein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. Women are obligated in Mikra Megillah. This idea of Afein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes, which we'll only touch upon a little bit, but just to give you a little bit of background about that. So it's one that appears a few times in Shas. Usually it's in conjunction with something like this, a mitzvah which is Persume Nisa oriented. And you could have thought women would be exempt. You could have thought that it would be a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. And yet this rule of Afein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes tells us that no, that for whatever reason, women have to be included. I say for whatever reason because there is a difference in Rishonim as to really what the words even mean. Does it mean that they were subject to the threat and therefore they were ba'oso hanes in the sense that they were saved from the threat? Or does it mean, which is especially resonant in the context of Megillas Esther, that they were those who brought about the Nes, they were the heroes of the Nes. So we have room to say that with all of the Nisim that we speak about, but clearly Purim most so, we name our whole Megillah after one such woman. So it's easiest understood there that that's what the phrase could possibly mean. And there is a discussion that the Brisker Rav, for example, in his comments in the Sefer Erechin, was prominently a part of. Does Afein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes mean that the initial din just extends to women as well? Or is it a second level new concept that the mitzvah has its parameters? And then Chazal came and also said, by the way, we should also include women for whatever reason. And there's also one more detail to throw in, an attitude that most of the Rishonim have, that this only applies, the whole concept only really comes in with these dinim derabbanan. Not everyone agreed with that, but there's Tosfos in a number of places, Rashbam, have this approach that this is something that we don't say by the Raisas. We only have it by Drabbanan. So there's a discussion, for example, why don't we say that women are chayavos in the mitzvah of Tefillin, since Tefillin has an aspect of Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. So let's say that women should be chayavos in that too. So some will explain that, first of all, the whole discussion doesn't get off the ground because it is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so the whole concept of afhein doesn't apply. Others have different approaches. Others say that maybe it could apply to a d'oraisa, but it's only applicable when the whole mitzvah is about a nes. Tefillin has this component of Zeichu Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we don't say that the whole mitzvah of tefillin is there to be a Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So those are some of the highlights of the concept of Afen Hayu Ba'os HaNes, and some of them will be relevant to our discussion here. But in any event, so the Gemara says that because of this, women are Chayavos in Mikra Megillah. So what does that mean, Chayavos in Mikra Megillah? So on the surface, it sounds like it means that they're Chayavos in the same way. That just as men are Chayavim, so women are Chayavos. And therefore, technically, women should be able to be Motzi men. And this is the view of some of the Rishonim, such as Rashi and the Rambam. Did you get a chance to see these? Right, they seem to understand that it's an equal chiyuv. So women are able to be motzi men in reading the Megillah because they are chayavos on the same level to the same degree as men are. However, there is a prominent view in the Rishonim that disagrees. And that is the view of the Bahag. Tosfos in a few places quotes the Bahag. The nature of citations of the Bahag is that we don't always have it firsthand, so sometimes there are differences in how it's quoted. And as we'll see, a lot of what we'll speak about over the next few minutes is subject to speculation, to theory about what exactly is the Bahag's full intent. And that's the nature sometimes of his citations. In general, also another word of introduction is that the Bahag was an early Rishon who was very, very respected. So there are a handful of places where he may be in the minority view, but because of the great esteem that the Rishonim had for him and that the Poskim had for him, so he plays a prominent role in how we Paskin Lahalacha. So what's another example of that that'll be relevant a few weeks down the road? About what? I'm seeing the Bahag's prominence of Pesach. Sorry, I should be more specific. But after Pesach, we'll be dealing with the Bahag because his view about Sfiras HaOmer and missing a day in Sfiras HaOmer has had enormous influence in how we perform that mitzvah. Even though in that subject he was in the minority. Most of the Rishonim didn't say like the Bahag that it's a problem to miss a day in Sfiras HaOmer, but his prominence is very significant, so he has a lot of deference that's shown to him in Pesach. So here as well, he has a position that the chiyuv of Nashrim by Mikra Megillah is not the same as that of men. So therefore, it's not so simple or so clear that women can be motzi men. And again, there are different versions of how this is brought, but you saw this a little bit, the Tosfos and the Quotas, right? So how is the Chiyuv formulated according to the Bahag? As a Chiyuv of Shmiya rather than Kriya. So what does that mean is the topic of, as you can imagine, huge discussion, much speculation. And we'll try over the next few minutes to try to sketch out a little bit the various views of what it means. And as you can imagine, this has a big impact l'halacha. Because following the Bahag, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Bahag. So following the Bahag would mean that men should not fulfill their obligation for women. Women should not read for men. Does it mean they could read for women? So many Achronim assumed yes. Many Achronim said okay, so they're not able to be motzi men, but they should be able to be motzi women, that it's the same chiyuv there. On that point also, there is a significant disagreement, though. The Magen Avraham quotes the Medrash Nelam that says differently, and that women cannot be motzi even men. And Rav Salvechik, if I understand correctly, favored that interpretation for reasons which I think are understandable, which we'll try to explain also. So basically, just to give kind of a framework for all the different explanations. So what does it mean when you say that women are chayavos in Shmias Megillah rather than Mikra Megillah? As a Lamdan or as a Pashtun, you know, as somebody whose mind turns towards Lamdus, or as somebody whose mind turns towards a more literal interpretation of the phrases, what does that phrase signal to you? And that's where you'll see, this is why I'm asking this question first, because you'll see that the different explanations seem to line up with that primary kind of question. What does that phrase signal to you? Daniel? Okay, so a lower level chiyuv. Let's start with that. So, a specific kind of lower level chiyuv, or is it just code word for lower level chiyuv? That's, I think, part of the question that you're addressing. So that's one way to say it, okay? As I indicated, I think there's at least three ways to say it. So, is it that the whole story, just a lower level chiyuv doesn't have any meaning beyond that? Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong, I'm just asking if that's what you mean. Okay, so you'll see that there are some who seem to understand it that way, that it's simply a lower level chiyuv. Why we use the word shmiya, kriya, whatever it is, it's just a way of saying it's a different kind of chiyuv. Jebediah?
It sounds like they had their portion of the mitzvah as in pursuing Nisa, but like in receiving the
Okay, so then that's another possibility, which itself breaks down into two angles, okay? So that'll also leave room if you have more comments. That maybe, let's not stop at saying it's a lower level chiyuv, but let's get more specific. That the nature of the chiyuv is different because of this word. Shmiya tells us something specific. It's not just a different word that could have been any different word to mean lower, but it tells us something about the nature of the nature of the obligation. Yes, sir?
I think that they both fulfill the same obligation. It's just a matter of, yeah, there's a lot of chiyuv, but they fulfill the same obligation, but in different ways.
So okay.
Then I don't think it would be a lower level chiyuv. It's just what's more conscious of why to fulfill the mitzvah.
Okay, so maybe I should.
Is it better to read? Okay. Or is it better to hear? And by the way of saying that, then you would see that it, I don't know, the real outlook is there, but it's different. It's fulfilling the same mitzvah, it's just a different way of fulfilling it. What's better to do?
Okay, so then let's try to get a little bit more specific about that. Your point is well taken. Let's not be too judgmental about it in terms of better or worse, but just when we say higher or lower, the difference, even if you wanted to use different language, still it would impact this question of one being more to the other, because if they have a fundamentally different obligation, so even if we want to reserve judgment in terms of better or worse, I appreciate that, but still it would mean men cannot fulfill for women. But we certainly do know, just as a matter of practice, that men can read for women. So we have to assume, in that sense, that the obligation of women is included in the men's obligation, but not vice versa. So from that perspective, to call it a higher level seems legitimate. But again, working off of what Jed was saying also, that it's not just lower, it's that it's specific, and that changes the nature of the chiyuv. Hi.
In terms of, it sounds like when it's just Shmiya, that there's no Indian of Shomei Kahone.
Okay.
Because we know that we need to, even a higher level, we usually read along with the Bakore.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be a higher, that from the other side, that men have a higher level. If
how are you deriving that from? I'm sorry?
If Kriya sounds like you have to be reading along with the Bakore.
Not necessarily. Now, I'll say parenthetically, the topic of Shemaya Kaona, I think I mentioned this before, certainly very relevant to Purim. It happens to be the most primary location of the sugya is in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah is the source for Shemaya Kaona. It's a beautiful sugya, really, really beautiful sugya. God willing, I look forward to doing it with you guys. I don't know whether or not we'll do it before Purim. Maybe we will. It has relevance to Pesach also, has relevance to Rosh Hashanah also, so it'll fit for whatever time of the year we get up to it. But it's something very much on our agenda for Masach HaSukkah, because you don't even have to use a tangent. It's the Gemara primarily talks about Shemaya Kaona is in Sukkah, so I'll have to push off a little bit understanding how Shemaya Kaona fits, because we hope to talk about it at great length and great detail, at least in great detail. But for now, we'll have to keep it a little bit in a bubble. So you could say, so far, what have we seen? That either it's just a different chiyuv, it's not, the word Shmiya is not really significant. Right. Or you could say that, no, let's get a little bit more literal. Right? The first opinion is really just a kind of a lumdish way of seeing things, that the chiyuv is different and that the word does not really attract our attention too much. The second position is a little bit more of a specified kind of lumdish, that we should assume that it's a lumdish chiluk we're still saying that, you know, Chalpilamdus, that the gather of the Chiyuv is different, it's different Chalois Chiyuv, but that it has some kind of connection to the word Shmia. The third way to understand it is much simpler, and ironically we'll associate this with Rusalovichik, even though it's kind of the opposite of the Brisker way, is you could see it just kind of very literally. Right? What does it mean? It means women, if you weren't a Lamdin, right, if you never spent a day trying to understand the Rambam, how would you understand this phrase, the women are chayavas and shmias and Megillah? What would you think that means? They have to hear it. So what does that mean? As opposed to that, if men have an obligation to read it, women have an obligation to hear it. So what does that mean? Would you interpret that, oh, they have a different gather of a Chi of Kri, the Kri is called Shmiya, so they can be Motzi women, but they can't be Motzi men? No, presumably you'd understand it how?
Men generally
read. Men do the reading, and the women have an obligation to listen, to be a part of the audience. Right? You wouldn't necessarily read that as, this is a different gather in how you have an obligation to read the Megillah. So the women who are reading the Megillah are reading it B'tarah Shmiya. You'd have an understanding that, in general, the reading is done by the men, and the women are chayovos to be a part of the audience. They can't skip it. They have to come listen. And that's all tied to Persume Nisa. Persume Nisa is something that is very expansive, and particularly in this case where Afen Hoibos or Anais, like we said, has a very strong power to it. But it doesn't mean at all that women have a role in reading it b'chla. So that is probably consistent with the view that we said of the Magen Avraham and the Medrash Nelam, and I think as Rav Soloveitchik understood also, that it doesn't mean that it's a different gather of Chi of Kriya. It means that the job is to listen, and therefore even to read for women wouldn't necessarily make so much sense. Okay, so far so good? So now let's try to understand the more Lamdish positions. So why would the Chi of be different? So let's start with one way of saying it, which doesn't necessarily have to focus on the language of Shmiya. That goes to our first interpretation of it's just different. It's just a lower chiyuv. So as we discussed last week, the chiyuv Mikra Megillah is understood by most to be Midivrei Kabbalah, and therefore to be close to a Daraisa. So then the question that we mentioned a few minutes ago becomes relevant. What does Afen Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes mean? Does it mean that the initial Chiyuv is extended? So the same Takana of Mikra Megillah that applies to men also includes women because Afen Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes? Or should we say that no, the Takana is whatever it is? But Chazal came along at some point and said, listen, Afen Hayu Ba'osu Hanes. Therefore, we should create also a Din D'Rabbanan that will include women in this Chiyuv. So, if the second possibility is the case, so that might be the issue here. That maybe the initial Takana, Midivrei Kabbalah, of Mikra Megillah, that is incumbent only on the men. But because of Afen Hayu Ba'osu Hanes, so Chazal also created a Din D'Rabbanan to be Mechayiv women in Megillah. So therefore, there's a difference. The men are Chayav and Midivrei Kabbalah, and the women are obligated Midrabbanan without the extra bump of being Midivrei Kabbalah. So therefore, women shouldn't read for men, because women are only Chayavos Midrabbanan, and the men have a more intense Chiyuv Midivrei Kabbalah. Hi.
Isn't usually
think
like, isn't Midivrei Kabbalah usually lower than
Midrabbanan? No.
No, it's always higher than.
Yeah. The question is how much higher? The Gemara, that we mentioned a little bit last week, that the Gemara has this phrase, Divrei Kabbalah Kidivrei Torah Dami. And then what we mentioned is that it's in a very narrow context, so it might just mean something very limited.
It's less than a Daraisa.
It should be less than other ice because it's not from the Torah itself. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what does the Gemara mean when it says Divrei Kabbalah Ki Divrei Torah Dami? So the Gemara that has that phrase is talking about one very specific concept. So you could read it as just that. It doesn't mean Safik Bechomra, it doesn't mean all these other things. But it happens to be that starting with the Turi Evan, who we'll quote in a minute, the author of the Shagas Aryeh, that a lot of Achronim nowadays take the position that it means fully, for all intents and purposes. Divrei Kabbalah is treated like Divrei Torah all the way. So that could explain it. Men are essentially chayavim in Mikra Megillah like Divrei Torah, like Divrei Kabbalah. And women are chayavas drabanan, so they shouldn't be motzi men because the chayav is different. Now there's nothing in that phrase that necessarily explains shmiya as the word. It just means a different chayav. So the Turi Evan understands like this. The Turi Evan, the same Turi Evan who's the one who says that Divrei Kabbalah has Divrei Torah status, he also understands that women are chayavos midrabanan. So that's one approach one could take to saying there's a difference, practically speaking, in the chiyuv. Now let's shift to another way. Let's say there's a difference in the chiyuv, but the word shmiya is significant. Daniel?
Back to the previous point about Divrei Kabbalah versus Divrei Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. According to the Familiar Yehuda, then they would have the same chiyuv
of the night. Oh, very good question. There are those who have made that suggestion. Hold on, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. Okay, you're not the first to say that. We'll see if that works. So, there are those who understand that the Shmiya is relevant because, like Jed was getting at, that Shmiya essentially speaks to the part of Pirsumei Nisa as the nature of the Chiyuv. That Chazal wanted the Megillah should be read, and it should be read very publicly. And the Pirsumei Nisa creates a Chiyuv Shmiya on the women as well. Now, using that premise, a lot of Achronim follow a certain formula, and the formula varies from one to the other. But the Tzad HaShava, the common formula is that Megillah, the mitzvah of Megillah, is made up of Pirsumei Nisa plus X. Okay, we'll talk about it algebraically. So it's Pirsumei Nisa plus X. Women are pturos from X. They're not obligated in X. They're only obligated in Pirsumei Nisa. So therefore, the whole package of Megillah, the part that obligates Kriya and Shmiya, that's X plus Pirsumei Nisa. And women are only Chayavos because of Pirsumei Nisa, that amounts to just Shmiya. So what is X? There are at least three possibilities for what X is. Anybody want to try to solve for X? What do you think X could be that maybe is a part of Mikra Megillah and women are Pturos from? Not even one of the three you want to try? What do you think? What could it be? What is the mitzvah of Megillah meant to accomplish, do you think? Yes, Daniel? Okay, so Hallel is a good one. And I think you get extra credit because I think you missed last time. We had to leave it before we explained that this is a Gemara. Right? The Gemara says, on Daf Yudalit in Megillah, that, Sadam HaMakomos, that Mikra Megillah has Hallel in it. Right, because Gemara asks, why do we not say Hallel? The whole existence of Purim, the Gemara justifies by saying that's a Kal V'chomer from Pesach. That if we celebrate being saved from slavery, we should all the more so celebrate being saved from death. So then the question becomes, well, okay, but so then we should say Hallel on Purim like we do on Pesach. So why do we not? The Gemara has three answers. One of the three answers is that Kriyasa Zuhalela, that the reading of the Megillah is also Hallel. So that leads some to say that there is an actual Kiyum of Hallel in Megillah, and there would be a Chiyuv where they're not Mikra Megillah. So I think we mentioned last week the Meiri and the Shivas Tzion, who was the son of the Nodi Behuda. They're both right that if somebody is on a desert island and he doesn't have a Megillah on Purim, or other settings, we could probably imagine, you don't have Megillah on Purim, so you should say Hallel, because really you're chayiv to say Hallel on Purim. We just fulfill it through the Mikra Megillah, but if you don't have the opportunity to read the Megillah, then you should at least say Hallel by itself. So some say like that. Some say, if I remember correctly, I think there are some Mech says like this, that there is a mitzvah of Hallel on Purim. Mikra Megillah is Hallel plus Pirsumei Nisa. women are peturos from halal. That's it seems like it's a Gemara that says that. Gemara and Sukkah, actually, the women are peturos from halal. There's a lot of discussion back and forth about that. How does that factor into Hanukkah, things like that. But there's certainly basis to say women are peturos from halal. So therefore, men read Megillah to fulfill both halal and Pirsumei Nisa. And women are chayavos to hear the Megillah just for Pirsumei Nisa. That's one version. There's two others. One possibility, the Stipler discusses, I think Rav Soloveitchik took this perspective as well, that it comes from the Chi of Talmud Torah. And Megillah is a fulfillment of the Chi of Talmud Torah. Yes, Daniel? Say it again? Still can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Can I offer another suggestion?
Yes, please do. Bingo, you're on fire today. So what about Zechira Samalik? So that's an interesting suggestion. The Marcheshes has this suggestion, as do others. It's premised on something a little bit surprising by itself. Because what's the assumption here? Women chayavos in Amalek or not? In Zechira Samalik? What do you think? Good question. Why not? That's well put. It's a good response. I usually say that it's always safe to guess machlokas, which is true. But Moshe's got a safe guess here. So why not? Because that's the question. Because it's not obvious why not. Because one should think that women are chayavos. And maybe as we get closer to Purim, maybe we'll have time to talk more about Parsha Zachar, and we could talk about that specifically. But for now, just to suffice with the short version. So the Sefer Achinuch is of the position that women are peturos. Why is that true? It's not clear. There is a big discussion about this, and it's not obviously the case. It does not seem like it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama. It does not seem like the Torah ordains any specific time for this mitzvah. So there's a lot written about why does the Chinuch have this position. That's why I said Moshe's way of formulating it is a good one, because whatever the final answer is, the first question is, why not? Why should they not be chayavos? So that, it's not obvious why not. The Marcheshes ultimately suggests, the Marcheshes was Reb Henoch Egish, who was the Rav of Vilna after Reb Chaim Ozer passed away. And he wrote a sefer called Marcheshes, very similar to Reb Chaim Ozer's sefer. So the Marcheshes, he talks about that perhaps the reason women should be peturos is that Amalek is actually a prat in the Chi of Muhammad. It's about war. And the assumption is, well, first of all, you have to say a couple of premises. This whole discussion is why it's like so many different little building blocks that are all a little bit challengeable to get to this statement. So to say, if you follow this path, to say the women are peturos from Amalek, so okay, you say that based on the Chinuch, which not everyone agreed with. How do you explain the Chinuch? So if you want to say it's based on that Zechira Samalek is connected to Mechia Samalek, to the Melchama against Samalek, it's also something you have to establish. And then the next step is to say that women are peturos from that. They're peturos from Mechia Samalek, from the Melchama against Samalek. So that's based on really a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, that the Gemara says that Ta'ish Darcho Lelech Melchama Veda Isha, that the man has the style of going out to war as opposed to women. However, against that you have sources that seem to be more explicitly the other way. You have the Mishnah in Sota, which says that for Mechemes Mitzvah, which Amalek is a Mechemes Mitzvah, afilu kala michupasa, that even kala from her chuppah is encouraged, is obligated to leave the chuppah and to go participate in the melchama. So a lot of discussion what that means. There's a lot of writings about it, but it's not a 100% indisputable premise to say that all of these steps come together perfectly. But in any event, it's an ongoing machlokas whether women are chayavos and amalek. Again, maybe we'll talk about this more closer to Purim. In general, in our shuls, we tell people that the kriya for Amalek, the Shabbos before Purim, 2 weeks from now, is the only time that it's a chi of Menat Torah, to hear kriya Satorah. Is that in this building? Nobody's had an alarm?
Yeah.
No. Okay, so that the chi of the chiyuv is Menat Torah, and we usually encourage the men and the women to come to shul for Amalek. Sometimes there's a separate reading for the women, who can't make it on time. So that's a big machlokas. Is that really the case? Is there such an obligation? So, okay, so if one follows this premise that there is, that women are paturos, so then that's another possible model here, that women are chayavos in persumenisa, but not in amalek, and therefore that's the X. So basically three theories what X is. X is either amalek, or Talmud Torah, or Hallel, and therefore women are paturos from that, they're chayavos in persumenisa. So, to take this one step further, I won't say so much more about things, but just first of all, actually, I want to address Daniel's question, so just realize. So, there are those who suggest that if you follow any of these approaches, maybe there's room to make chilukim lemaisa, and to say, okay, well, if you say that it's midivrei Kabbalah, not midivrei Torah, like the Tari Evan, so what about the Nod Behuda that we mentioned last week, that at night it's only midirabanan? Or what about if you say that Hallel is not at night? So if you say it's based on Hallel, then maybe you should say it doesn't apply at night. So there are those who wanted to say that women should be able to read for men at night because these distinctions don't apply in the nighttime reading. It's a very big jump, because Halacha L'maisa, to be able to say, put together all these different Hezberim and Nachronim and assume that's true L'maisa, we're not really in a position to do that, so it's not a solid position in the halacha. But as far as alumdus, so that's what there's a little bit to clarify about.
Women regular readings?
So that's where the machlokas centers around. The question is, halacha l'maisa, it's very shaky to say that, oh, because you assume like the Tari Evan that it's not the Divrei Kabbalah, and you assume like that's the whole issue, and you assume like... You assume like the Nod Behuda at nighttime is midrabanan, to put all these assumptions together and say that based on that, that's where it comes from. Again, it's a very shaky binyan. But that's how the argument generally goes.
You wouldn't
mind. I would not. I mean, again, Rav Soloveitchik had a different understanding, which the truth is, with all due respect to the Lumdas, and again, especially coming through, this is the Pashut Pshat understanding of what the Hag is saying, that it's a din of being in the audience. But in any event, just to, from a Lumdisha perspective, to say a little bit more, just to cap this off, so why should Shmiya be connected to Persumenisa? Right, okay, well, the one, if you say, like we just said a second ago, that without all the Lumdis, the very straightforward way, it's because that's what Persumenisa means. Persumenisa means that the message should get to the broadest audience. So it's about, not about who does the reading, it's about who does the listening. So the audience should be the entire Jewish people. Everyone should hear it. But it doesn't tell us anything about who's doing the reading. So that's the straightforward, without the Lumdish approach to saying it. But let's say within a very Lumdish approach, how could you explain that Achiv Shmiya is the meaning of Persumenisa? So this relates a little bit actually to what Jacob said before also. There is a typically creative and brilliant tshuva about this topic in the Tshuva's Avinezer. Tzach Tshuva Rebbe has a fascinating explanation where he says as follows, and I can explain this the complicated way or the super complicated way. I think I'm going to go for the complicated way and see how well that goes, and then we'll see if you want the more complicated way. Or maybe I'll just do it like this. I'll just do the complicated way. If you want like a extra complicated raya to what he's saying, then you can ask me afterwards and I'll share it with you. But essentially he says like this. He quotes, I believe, from a Lecha Mishnah or a Kesef Mishnah, I forgot, that there is a klal, that something that is known to Talmidei Chachamim does not rise to the level of public knowledge. However yeshiva-centric we may be, but if you have to be a Talmud Chacham to know it, that's not called public knowledge. So if something is true only because of halachic principles, but not because of a physical reality, that's not called public knowledge. So based on that, the Avinezer wanted to say as follows. It goes to Jacob's point about the Shmei HaKaona. The chiyuv of Megillah, the personal chiyuv of Megillah, at least for men, is to read the Megillah. But 98% of us do not physically read the Megillah on Purim. We listen to someone else reading the Megillah. Now, halachically, those of us who've learned all of Masech HaSukkah, Mir Tzashem Bayasun, will know that halachically, Shomeya is Keona. That listening has the halachic status as if you read it. So Alpidin, even though 98% of us don't actually read the Megillah on Purim, Alpidin we did. All of us on Purim, we read the Megillah. Alpidin through Shomeya Keona. That's the reality in the halachic world. However, if you were to ask the average person who goes to shul the day after Purim, if you were to say to him, tell me, did you read the Megillah yesterday morning? What will he probably say to you? I didn't read the Megillah. I went to shul and somebody else read the Megillah. I listened. So the average person thinks that he heard the Megillah on Purim. Al Pidin, he read it because of the halacha of Shemei Ka'onah. So, says the Avnei Nezer, it's true that halachically he read it, but you can't claim there's any pirsum on his reading. Because pirsum, what's public knowledge correlates only to what people understand, not having to become Talmidei Chachamim to recognize the underlying lumdus. So the pirsum is only on the hearing of the Megillah, because everybody knows they heard the Megillah. And even though halachically they read the Megillah, you can't say there's a pirsum in how they all read the Megillah because they don't know that they read the Megillah. Follow? The average person, if you were to ask him, he'll tell you, yes, I fulfill the mitzvah of listening to the Megillah in Purim. Because the fact that that's considered a kriya is something only the Talmidei Chachamim are aware of. So therefore, pirsum, the publicizing, that only applies to the Shmias HaMegillah. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, Memela Chiyuv, that's based on Pirsumei Nisa alone, can only be about Shmia. While other mitzvos, that could be about Kriya. So since the Chiyuv of Nashim in Mikra Megillah is premised on Pirsumei Nisa, therefore it's all about Shmia. You follow?
The women are the ones who accomplish Pirsumei Nisa for everybody?
For themselves. Their obligation of Pirsumei Nisa must only be about Shmia.
Because they wouldn't understand.
Not that they wouldn't understand, it's that the average person, men or women, doesn't know that they're...
How did men accomplish?
Because Alpidin, they don't only accomplish Pirsumei Nisa, they also through listening. Pirsumei Nisa is about listening. So the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa for men and for women is to listen. But the mitzvah of Kriya, which we also perform through the act of listening, that doesn't need person per se. So the fact that nobody understands that it's a din of kriya, that doesn't matter.
Shmei Ka'onah means they accomplish both Shmia and Kriya.
Right, Shmei Ka'onah means, that's what we'll discuss when we talk about Shmei Ka'onah. But so, okay, the fact that Mechias HaMalek, Zechiras HaMalek, or Halel, that requires kriya. Okay, so just like Kiddush. So Kiddush we do through Shmia, even though really we're supposed to make our own Kiddush. But really most of us, or more of us, make Kiddush through listening to somebody else's. So therefore, again, it doesn't matter that we don't understand necessarily that that's really considered to be saying Kiddush. But Pirsumei Nisa, that we have to understand, so that's about Shmia. It's an interesting Kiddush.
Well, wasn't the regular
Kiddush
that we had, the regular
Shai
explanation?
Normal. You could take that too. Seems
much more.
Yeah, you could take that too. And does that mean you don't want to get more complicated? I could tell you it was more complicated Raya. So.
It seems unnecessary.
So you want to know the more complicated Purim related point or not? It's up to you.
Yeah.
Go for it? Okay. He proves his point also by saying the following. We'll try it once. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin and Dafayin Dalet tells us that there are three averus for which we say Yeharig Val Yavar. Right? We know Gilarayos, Avodazar, and Shvichas Dab, and we say Yeharig Val Yavar. And then the Gemara says also that if an Avera is public, if it's well known, then all the Averas become Yehar V'Yavor. If something is done as a matter of public defiance of the Torah, so then we say Yehar V'Yavor by everything. So to that, the Gemara says, really? What about Esther? Right, Esther intermarried. Right, so how was she allowed to do that? How was she allowed to have a relationship with the king when it was public? Everyone knew that she was marrying the king. So the Gemara has two answers. One of the two answers is Esther karka olam haisa, that in the physical act between the man and the woman is considered to be passive. So therefore, it's not an issue. She's not responsible for that. So many, Rishonim, the Achronim, raised the question that that's not true halachically. Is that really the case that women are considered to be passive in an act of physical intimacy? The Gemara says in Bava Kamma and elsewhere, V'nichrasu hanafashos ha'osos, says the Gemara, Hishva hakasiv ish li'isha l'chalanshin shebetorah, that if a man and woman are in an illicit physical relationship, they are both considered to be al pidin, equally liable, they're equally responsible for the act of znos. So it's a contradiction, right? Because al pidin, men and women are equally partners in this act of znos. And yet, here the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that no, when it comes to Esther and Achashverosh, Esther was passive. So the Avinezer explains that no, the Gemara is addressing specifically the question of this Avera being Befarhesia. Right? The Gemara wants to know, wasn't Esther's relationship public knowledge? And it's addressing the category that a public knowledge Avera is Yehari Vayavra. Why was it not straight out Gili Arayis, the Rishonim already discussed? But then the issue that it should be, even without that, public knowledge, that's the Gemara's question, and the answer is, she's passive. So says the Avinezer, aye, but halachically she's not passive, halachically she's liable. Says, doesn't matter. She's liable halachically, that only the Talmidei Chachamim know. But the Gemara is asking, wasn't it public knowledge? The public knowledge was that she was passively involved. The fact that Al-Pidin, the people who learned Bava Kamma, know that she's Chayiv, that doesn't affect what's public knowledge. So it happens to be coincidentally Purim related also, but his point being, you see in both these cases that when we're talking about something being Farhesia or something being Persume Nisa, if we want to look at what's public and what's not public, we can't look at halachic realities. We have to look at just what people actually know about. So people don't know that halachically the woman is considered to be equally liable for the act of znos, so that doesn't count. And people don't know that listening to the Megillah has the halachic status of reading. So therefore, Pearson only goes to listening to the Megillah and not to reading the Megillah. So based on that, he explained that it's a missing link. It's just a missing step in all these Achronim who say that women's chiyuv is different because of Shmia and because of Shemini's applications. All right, bottom line. So our usual practice is that we don't have women read for men, and we don't, not at night or during the daytime, and we don't have women read for women either because of the very strong possibility that even that is not effective, although there were more Achronim who were open to that possibility. This is all, again, based on the Bahag. In extreme situations, there could be room to say differently, but l'charchila, l'halacha, that's how we assume.
Is it an extreme case that there's no men around? Should a woman read for a woman, or should they just read by themselves?
Well, that would, we reach to each other. We reach for
others.
Yeah. So, presumably, so in an extreme case, as Rav Schechter has pointed out, theoretically, if there was literally no other option, a woman could theoretically read for a man also, because it's part of their lottery shown, like the Rashi and the Rambam, who don't agree with the Bahag. So, if the only option is, it's the stuff, let's say there's a man in the hospital, as Rav Schechter has mentioned, let's say you have a man who's ill, he's in hospital, he can't get out of his house to go to Megillah reading, and his wife knows how to read the Megillah, and she's the only person who's around. And so he can't hear the Megillah from a man, so then it's better for him to hear from his wife than not, because according to some of the Rishonim, that does work. So maybe more than Rinoko, according to some big Rishonim, it does work. So l'chadchilo, l'halacha, we don't do that. But if that was the only option, then that's presumably a preferable option. So just to quickly review what we spoke about, because it was a little complicated. So the Gemara says that women are chayavos in Mikra Megillah because of Afen Haribos Manes. We explained a little bit some foundational principles about Afen Haribos Manes, a lot of questions about how that idea works and what it means. I've just mentioned what some of them were. And then we started talking about how the implication is that women can be motzi men. That's how Rashi and the Rambam understand. But the view of the Bahag is that women are only obligated in Shmiya and not in Kriya, and therefore women cannot read for men. Women possibly, but even that, there was some debate that the Magen Avraham and the Soloveitchik understood not even reading for women either. So we discussed how this could be broken down into three basic understandings of what the phrase chayavos bishmiya means. Is it just a way of saying a lower level chiyuv? Is it a way of saying a different level of chiyuv that's specifically formed around the concept of shmiya? Or does it mean just literally that they're meant to be part of the audience? There's no chiyuv kriya at all. That's probably the way the Magen Avraham understood it, or Soloveitchik understood it. Then in terms of the first two reasons, so just to say it's a lower level chiyuv and not necessarily connected to Shmiya, that seemed to be the Terry Evans understanding, that the chiyuv is midinei drabbanan, not midinei kabbalah. And according to those who formulated around the idea of Shmiya, we mentioned the basic formula that women are chayavos in persuma nisa, and Megillah is persuma nisa plus X. And women are pturus from X. So what is X? We saw three different possibilities. Either it's Hallel, based on the Gemara Kriyasas of Halela, or it's Talmud Torah, as the Stipler understood, or it is the Chiras HaMalik, and the whole story with the Sefer HaChinuch and the Mecheshes and that. So maybe that's the X. And then we mentioned the Avinezer's very complicated interpretation, that why do all those things, those are all mitzvahs of Kriya, fine, but why to say that Persuma Nisa is about Shmiya rather than Kriya, and how we explained that for Persuma Nisa to be effective, it's got to talk about something everyone can see, everyone can understand. And the average person, if you ask him, what did we do on Purim, they'll say, we listened to the Megillah. They don't know that they read the Megillah al Pidin. So therefore, the mitzvah of Persuma Nisa can only address that, and it has to be about Shmiya specifically. Okay, everyone more or less follow? Okay, so we'll have to see what we'll cover before Purim. There are other aspects of Mikra Megillah. I prioritize these two topics because they're more practically relevant and more essential to the whole concept. Time permitting, we'll try to get a little bit more about this as well. Who would like to daven for us? Yossi, you want to daven for us? Ashrei Yosheh Beitecha.